Across the rugged Indian territory rides a tall young man on a mission of mercy, his medical bag strapped on one hip, his six shooter on the other. This is Dr. Six Gun. The National Broadcasting Company brings you another episode in the exciting adventure series, Dr. Six Gun. Gray Matson, M.D., was the gun-toting frontier doctor who roamed the length and breadth of the old Indian territory. Friend and physician to white man and Indian alike, the symbol of justice and mercy in the lawless West of the 1870s, this legendary figure was known to all as Dr. Six Gun.
Small town has its little scandal, and Frenchman's Ford is no exception. Being a peddler, naturally, I am subjected to a lot of idle gossip. It is part of my trade to supply the housewives of the territory with the latest tidbits, as well as Spanish lace and tin pots. You do not know me? I am Pablo, the gypsy peddler.
Shameful, positively shameful.
Oh, hush, you magpie. This one is Midnight.
Midnight.
A raven who decided to become my business associate some 25 years ago. He thinks, he talks.
Hear the latest?
Oh, hush, you. Now to return to the story. It all began about 12 years ago when my friend Doc Sixgun was called to the ranch of Colonel Rigsby. The colonel's daughter, who had just returned from boarding school in the East, was the patient.
Whoa, you old buffalo, whoa there!
Here we are, Doc.
Thanks, Pablo.
Doc, thank the Lord you got here.
Well, what's the trouble, Colonel?
My daughter, Samantha.
What is it?
She's having her baby now.
Baby?
Come on, Doc. No time to talk.
Samantha Rigsby had always been a very beautiful girl. About 3 years before, when she was 14, the colonel had sent her east to an expensive boarding school. That was before the drought wiped out all his holdings and left him with only a few scrawny cows. In all the time that we had known Colonel Rigsby, he had never mentioned that Samantha had married.
He's been in there a long time. You suppose he's all right?
Oh, you just trust the doc, Colonel. Here, have another drink.
I'm worried.
Oh, believe me, the birth of a child is just a... Ah, there, you see?
Doc, is she...
She's just fine, Colonel. Congratulations. You're the grandfather of a healthy new boy.
A boy. Well, I'll be... Doc, I'm proud. Real proud.
I'll need some information for the birth certificate, Colonel.
Oh, sure thing, Doc.
Her mother's maiden name?
Samantha Ann Rigsby.
Samantha Ann. Father's name?
Bert Kane.
Father's place of residence?
Unknown.
When was Samantha married, Colonel?
June 15th, 1861.
Place of marriage?
Boston.
Well, that's all the information I need, Colonel. Unless you've picked a name for the child.
Samantha wants to call him Bert. Bert Kane, Jr.
Thanks, Colonel. Bert Kane, Jr. Date of birth, June 1st, 1863.
I reckon you're wondering why I never mentioned that Sammy married Doc.
That's none of my business, Colonel.
Well, it happened when she was only 16. I never liked Bert. He was older than she was. Went to Boston to try to stop it, but, you know how headstrong kids can be. I knew he was no good. At any rate, he... Run away as soon as he heard she was going to be a mother to his child. Couldn't stand the responsibility. Well, gentlemen, here's to my grandson, Bert Kane, Jr. May he grow to a fine man. And may his father rot in... Excuse me, boys.
Was 10 years ago. Naturally, the busybody gossips who had nothing else to fill up their lives began to talk. They said that there never was a marriage. That for all they knew, Bert Kane had been invented by the colonel who gave his grandson a name. Well, I suppose people with small lives say these things so they can feel self-righteous and worthwhile. They don't stop to think of the great hurt they inflict on innocent people. I remember the day that Doc and I were in his office and the doorbell sounded.
Well, hello. Come in. You're little Bert Kane, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Well, what brings you here?
I hurt my lip.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's have a look. Pablo, bring that kerosene lamp closer.
Right here, young buck.
Say, those teeth have gone in pretty deep. How'd it happen?
I broke myself.
I see. On what?
A fence rail.
Mm-hmm. Must be a pretty high fence.
Oh, it was.
I see you, skinned your knuckles on it, too, and tore your shirt and got a black eye. Was he much bigger than you?
Not much.
What sort of shape's he in?
I hit him till he stopped saying it.
Saying what? Now, hold still while I paint this.
Ow.
Yeah.
Saying that I didn't have no paw like other kids.
Oh, but that's silly. Everybody has a paw.
I told him about my paw being killed in the war and all. But he kept making fun, so I hit him.
I see.
You won't tell Ma, will you, Doc?
Not a word.
Ma, she don't like me to fight. And Gramps, he just gets terrible upset.
Okay, Bert.
It ain't fair for them to say things like that. I showed him the medal, too. And he said it wasn't real.
Medal?
Yes, sir. The medal they sent my Ma when my Pa was killed in the war.
You have it?
I ain't supposed to have it. Mom keeps it in a box on her bureau, but I took it. And the paper, too.
You have it with you?
Right here.
Say, Pablo, look at this.
What's this?
Medal for Valor, awarded to Bert Kane and Tietam. And here's a letter from the War Department expressing regret to Mrs. Bert Kane, care of Colonel Lawrence Rigsby, Frenchman's Ford.
Well, now maybe those bitter bodies will shut up and leave these people in peace, huh?
Maybe, Pablo. Too bad it took a man's death to do it.
Well, the busybodies did stop talking. The years went by. The colonel got old and passed away. And then, it was when little Bert was about 11, I think, Doc and I were sitting in the Bull Run Cafe one evening when a tall young man with no guns walked in. He'd been on the road for many hours, judging by the layers of different colored dust on his hat.
Pardon me.
Sir?
I wonder if you could tell me where I might find Colonel Rigsby's place.
Why, yes. You take the West Fork out of town, follow it to the river bend. You'll see his ranch right there.
Much obliged. His daughter and grandson, they're living there, ain't they?
Yes, they are.
Much obliged. I reckon I'll be seeing you again.
Oh,
Yes, you see, I'm Bert Kane, Samantha's husband.
Were too stunned to speak. And before we recovered, he was on his horse headed for the Rigsby Ranch.
Mom?
Yes, Bertie?
Mom, it's sure kind of lonely since Gramps died, ain't it?
Your Gramps was a pretty old man, Bert.
He was sick to bed a terrible long time.
I know, but he don't suffer anymore.
He didn't see so good anymore. When I went in that last time, he didn't even know I was there till I touched him.
You go on to bed now, Bert.
Yes, Mom. Mom, will I ever have a pa like other kids?
I hope so, Bert. Good night. Who's that? Who are you?
Don't you know me, Sammy?
Well, I'm not sure. It's been so many years.
It's Bert.
You? You're dead.
That's what they thought. I just crawled away.
But you don't look like you used to look. Your hair is all gray and your eyes are so tired.
Well, I've been through a lot. I was wounded bad. I almost died. See these scars on my face? It's all changed now.
I can't believe it, Bert. You ain't Bert. You ain't.
How's little Bert?
How do you know about him?
Don't you recall that letter you wrote? It caught up with me just before Antietam.
If you're really Bert, what else did I say?
Our son needs a father, and I need a husband. In spite of all you've done to us, if you come soon, I believe I could find it in my soul to forgive everything and make a place for you in my heart.
You remembered them.
I don't believe I ever read any lines so welcome, Samantha.
But...
did you mean them? I came here to find out.
I don't know.
Samantha, I've been wandering around for years now, drifting from town to town, doing things any man would be ashamed of. And all the while, them lines kept going through my brain. I believe I could forgive and make a place for you in my heart.
You really come to settle?
It's what I'd like to do.
Well, somehow I keep getting the feeling that you ain't the same Bert Kane.
I'm not. I've aged, and I've been through what no man should experience.
We'd have to start over, getting to know one another.
We could do it slow. We could try it.
I
somehow.
Don't know. Little Bert, the shock of it.
Would you let me talk to him, Sam?
Well, I... shh. Ma, I forgot to give you... oh. Bertie, come here.
Yes, Ma.
Bertie, you remember how I told you that your pa had been killed in the war?
Yes, Ma.
Well, they made a mistake, Bert.
A mistake?
It seems your pa wasn't killed at all. It seems your pa's still alive, Bertie. He's right here.
Pa?
Hello, boy.
You're my pa?
I'm going to try to be, boy.
Gee.
I brought you a little present. It's right outside the door.
A present? Ma... can I go look?
We'll all go.
Come on.
Well, how do you like him? He's a real Mexican saddle pony.
A pony for me? Mom.
Think you like him?
Like him? Mom, can I go pet him? Can I?
You'd better go put him in the corral.
I will, Mom. Gee, wait till the kids see this. And find out my pa give it to me.
Run along. And put your pa's horse in the corral, too.
Well?
He's so proud to have a pa.
Can I stay?
Yes.
Where'll I put my things?
You better stay out in the bunkhouse.
Okay.
I reckon it'll take some time to get to know each other, Bert.
I got the rest of my life, Sammy. The rest of my life.
I rode out to the Rigsby Ranch to sell some calico. There was a whole new atmosphere around the place. Bert Kane in his shirt sleeves was out in the yard cutting some logs for a new fence post. Little Bert was helping him, skinning the bark with a shiny new knife his father had bought him. They were singing together.
I lead an old dam. I'm going to Montana for to throw the Houlihan. They feed in the coulee, their water in the draw. Their tails are all matted, their backs are all raw.
You ready for another one?
Ready, Pa.
Well, slow and easy does it now. Don't go cutting yourself or your ma will have a fit.
Pa?
Hmm?
How come you stay out here in the bunkhouse so much?
Well, now, your ma ain't seen me since I run a... well, since she was 16, little Bert. That's a long time. You folks have got to get to know each other again.
Oh.
Maybe someday, soon, we'll be...
here comes the gypsy.
Oh, there.
Hi, Pablo.
Hey.
Hello there.
Hello. Well, I see you found the Rigsby place.
Yep.
Well, I thought perhaps I'd sell some new calico to Mrs. Kane.
She's in the ranch house.
I'll just go up there.
Just a minute.
Yes?
You got any real fancy Spanish shawls?
Oh, I have some lovely Spanish shawls from Philadelphia.
I mean real fancy.
Well, I have this one. It's very expensive.
How much?
$100.
Wow.
With genuine gold thread. See, it's
thank you, Ma, I'd like that.
It's beautiful.
All right, I'll take it. As sort of a surprise, here's the money.
Wow. You sure got a lot of spending money, Pa.
100.
100, thank you. Here, little Bert, how would you like a genuine Mexican silver knife instead of that one? I'll throw it into the bargain.
Is it okay to take it, Pa?
A bargain's a bargain. Come on, we'll all go up to the house and surprise your Ma.
That's the way it went. If ever I saw happiness on the faces of three people, I saw it that day on the faces of Bert Kane, his son, and his wife. But the happiness was tentative, as if it could be wiped away in a moment, as if there was something unreal about it.
Nice night.
The moon's so bright it hurts your heart to look at it.
That shawl looks real pretty on your shoulders, Sammy.
I feel so elegant.
You're happy, Sammy?
Yes. Are you?
Not happy, but for the first time in my life, I feel real content. Seems like I've been running and running and running ever since I can remember. Now I've stopped.
You know...
What is it?
Nothing.
Tell me.
Well, just that every once in a while, I try to remember the Bert Kane that I married. The Bert that ran away as soon as he found out we was having a baby. And then I look at you, so grown up and strong, it don't seem possible.
Sammy.
Bert.
I
just want to tell you, Bert, there's no need for you to stay out in the bunkhouse anymore.
Sammy, there's something that
You seem troubled, Bert.
Sammy, I can't move in, not yet.
Why not?
Because I can't tell you right now. I gotta be alone to think for a while.
I don't understand.
Just let me alone to think for a while, will you?
Of course.
I think I'll go for a walk.
Alone?
If you don't mind.
Well, no. You'll be back, won't you, Bert?
Yes. I'll be back.
It was about that time of night that I, Pablo, was returning from the day's trip. Naturally, I had to take the road that led close to the Rigsby Ranch in order to get back to Frenchman's Fork. What is it, old magpie? Something nearby? Well, we'll just...
Hold up, peddler.
Who is it?
Never mind. It's just for nothing.
Whoa. Who are you? What do you want?
That's a silly question, peddler. I want money. That's what I want.
And if I have none?
Let's have it.
You must be a very cowardly man to wear a mask like that.
Maybe that'll speed you up.
Get away, Bert. Get out of it. By midnight, stop that. I apologize. My friend the Raven thought you were attacking me. I'm sorry he tore off your mask.
You're sorrier than you think, peddler. You're going to die for it.
But it was an accident.
I don't like my face to be seen.
Yes, but
that's
surely...
More, peddler. Say your prayers.
Put
quick.
Up the gun,
Raider. Who's that? Come closer. Well, I'll be a son of a gun if it ain't the bat itself.
Bat Williamson, what are you doing in these parts?
You gentlemen seem to know each other.
Let the peddler alone.
Hey, you giving orders to me?
That's right.
That's wrong, especially when you ain't wearing no gun.
I don't need no guns for the likes of you. Get off that horse.
Hey, you better watch your tongue, too.
Raider, I'm going to give you three to put up your guns, and then I'm going to get you.
No, he'll kill you.
One.
Please.
Two.
No, don't do it.
Three.
Why, are you... No.
Are you hurt bad?
I'm okay. Just grazed my neck.
His first shot hit you.
How's he?
He's dead. The second shot when you twisted his arm... Here, you are hurt.
Yeah. Reckon I am.
I put the body of the bandit in the back of my wagon and then drove with Bert Kane to Doc Six Guns. By the time I was there, he had fainted from loss of blood. How is it, Doc?
Hard to say, Pablo. He lost a lot of blood. Bullet hit a vein in his neck.
Oh, I hope he's all right. He's a very brave man.
How'd it happen, Pablo?
Well, the bandit held me up. When Midnight tore his mask off accidentally, he was going to kill me.
Then Bert Kane came upon us. He seemed to know the bandit. He called him Rado. The bandit knew him too, Doc, only... Well, he didn't call him Bert Kane. He called him Bat Williamson.
Did you say Bat Williamson?
Yes. Do you know him?
Well, not personally. Pablo, until about a year ago, Bat Williamson was one of the most feared desperados in the state of Texas.
A desperado? Oh, then it must be a mistake. This is the most gentle of men. Hey, why would a desperado risk his life to save a poor peddler from another desperado?
I don't know, Pablo. Like you say, it might be a mistake.
Put it up, Rado.
He's regaining consciousness.
Put up the gun.
Bert.
Bert? Who's Bert?
Bert. Bert Kane.
Bert Kane's dead.
He seems partly delirious.
Bert's dead. He died at Antietam. I got his medal right here. A letter to his wife. I promised him.
Maybe I'd better send for Samantha, please. Doc.
I think you'd better, Pablo. Pretty quick.
Doc, is he...
He's fully conscious now, Sammy. I think he's going to make it.
Can I see him?
Just for a few minutes. Go on in.
Pablo told me how Bert saved his life.
Yeah, yes, he did, Sammy.
I better go in.
Sammy.
Here, Bert.
Give me a hand.
Here.
I guess I got it worse than I thought.
You're all right. Look at all you've got to live for.
That's just it, Sammy. I got nothing.
You got me and little Bert.
Sammy, lean close.
Don't talk.
I gotta talk, Sammy. Listen now. Listen close.
Yes.
I ain't Bert Kane.
Bert.
It's true. Bert Kane died at Antietam. I was in his outfit. He had a letter from you, and I used to talk to him. He asked me to come here and tell you and the boy he died thinking about you. I just put the letter away and forgot about it. I had other things to do.
Who are you?
My name is Williamson. They call me Bat Williamson. I've done a lot of things I'm ashamed of, Sammy. I ran cattle. I killed men in gunfights. About a year ago, I got tired of running. Then I found that old letter in my saddlebag. I knew I looked a lot like Bert, so I figured maybe I could come up here and start a new life.
You pretended to be Bert.
And you believed me.
Maybe I wanted to.
Well, it's done now. I'm sorry, Sammy. I'm sorry for you. I'm mostly sorry for the boy. He needs a pa so bad, that young'un. I know how he feels. Because when I was a kid...
Bert, tonight before you went out, you was trying to tell me, wasn't you?
I was trying to find the words. What I wanted to say was... I ain't never had no wife or kid or family before. My whole life has been running and fighting. And these past days, they've been the only happiness that I can remember. I reckon you... hate me now.
Oh, no, I don't hate you. You see, I sort of knowed all the time. At first, I was scared, and then when I seen how you was with the boy and how troubled you was about what you was doing, I decided I wouldn't even question it anymore. I've been lonely for a long time, too.
Sammy.
Hush.
No, I don't know if I can make it or not.
You will.
If I don't, I want you to know that I love you.
Bert. Bert! Doc! Doc, come quick!
He lapsed into a coma, and for 2 days he hovered halfway between life and death. Doc said that it was only a miracle that could pull him through.
Can little Bert see him, Doc? Can he?
I don't like to let the boy in here, Samantha.
Doc, he's been crying his eyes out for 2 days.
Have you told him?
That this ain't his father? No.
You'll have to tell him.
Not yet, Doc.
Well, you can let him come in for a while.
Come in, Bert.
Mom, He looks so white.
He's very bad hurt, son.
Can he hear me?
I don't think so, boy. He has moments of consciousness, but I'm afraid he won't hear you.
Pa? Pa, can you hear me? If you can, I want to tell you the pony is doing just fine. And I've been taking good care of Mom till you get home. So hurry up and get well, Pa. Please. Please, Pa. Mom, he's moving his eyes.
He is. He's coming, too.
He's getting better, ain't he, Doc? Ain't he getting better?
Could be, boy. It could be.
The man who called himself Bert Kane did get better. I remember the morning Samantha went in to see him. He was well enough to be shaved then, and I just helped him do it. They talked for about an hour, and then she came out.
Well, Samantha?
We had a long talk, Doc. I got a favor to ask of you and Pablo.
Yes. Go ahead.
Doc, do you believe a man can change for the better? I mean, do you believe a man who does bad things will always be bad?
If I believed that, I'd give up medicine, Sammy. A sick soul can be cured just like a sick arm.
Well, then, I reckon you know he ain't really my husband.
He told you?
Yes.
I see.
It don't matter, Doc. I believe he's a good man, and he ain't never caused me shame.
What are you going to do, Sammy?
Doc, nobody but you and Pablo knows who he really is. If you was to, well, just forget it, Bert and I'd like to go down to Black Rock and be married tomorrow.
You sure you know what you're doing, Sammy?
I do, Doc.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, Sammy, I never pay much attention to what a man says when he's delirious. Pablo, what about you?
Well, the man who saved my life was Bert Kane.
What? Bert Kane. Bert Kane.
Hey, you see? Even Midnight has said it.
You have been listening to Dr. Six Gun. Doc Six Gun is played by Carl Weber and Pablo by William Griffiths. Tonight's script was written by George Lefferts. Heard in the cast were Kip McCardle as Samantha, Bill Quinn as Bat Williamson, David Pfeffer as Little Bert, and William Keane as Colonel Rigsby. Dr. Six Gun, a radio production of the National Broadcasting Company, is directed by Harry Frazee. This is Fred Collins speaking.
Dr. Six Gun, starring Carl Weber as the Frontier Doctor with William Griffiths as Pablo, the Wandering Gypsy, has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Tonight on FPN Presents, you've been listening to Have Gun Will Travel and the Adventures of Dr. Six Gun. Join us again tomorrow night at 9:05 for our end of the week special with Fibber McGee and Molly, and Broadway is My Beat. Being a good Navy man means that sooner or later, you'll spend time at sea, working in close quarters with your shipmates and doing jobs that require complete concentration. Think of how much concentration an alcoholic does. Not on his job, but on how to make it between drinks. Would you depend on such a man, putting your life or the safety of others on the ship in his hands? If you know somebody with a drinking problem, get him to talk it over with the medical officer. It's more than just his life.
for you 24 hours a day. This is the All-American, the Far East Network, Misawa.